Who's in the Loin market?
31. Boston Buck Primal lost to about.
I got Loin for sale.
73.40. Ham Primal down 56 at 49.27. The biggest loser of the week, the Belly Primal, finished the week at 123.11.
Whoa.
Down 11.
That helicopter is. What
Low
the fuck?
Counts were about equal with the week
before. Yeah, everyone fucking slammed on the brakes because this helicopter is like fucking 20 feet off the ground.
Forward load 729. and export loads remained fairly good.
It just took off out of this field.
Estimated slaughter last week, 2.501 million, down 2,000 from the week
and
before.
And it's like kind of swooping. It's got little wings on the side of it. What the fuck is that?
Was at 534
million. It's got little tiny poles
pounds.
Or wings sticking out on the sides. Of, oh, it's like crop dusting.
Everybody stay warm out there, please.
You too. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Summers of USDA in Des Moines, Iowa. We have our new daily cutout.
And it's just like swooping around this
USDA,
field.
The midday update on the
laying down
side.
Some
we
mist.
Have a higher trade
fucking
today.
Chemtrails, man.
We're up $1.61. Selects were up $1.32. If we switch over to the pork side, we have the carcass values losing 2 pennies. Loin value down 92.
I am going to take your title, and I am going to kick your ass in front of the whole world.
First off, how's your leg? Because unlike you, I want my opponent to be looking me in the eye and primed to fight. I don't just want to beat you. I want to be the best version of Becky Lynch that has ever existed. And let's just be completely honest for 1 second.
Oh my God.
You, me, and everyone else here knows that I have the ability to kill you with my bare hands without even breaking a sweat. And the only thing stopping me is my decision not to. You know what, Becky? I just realized that we are the same age. That means while you were training, I was main eventing in a sport that didn't even want to win women in it at all, let alone in the main event.
Yeah, you'll get there.
While you were in the
kickoff show, I was asking questions about chemtrails. Just asking questions over here. Decided to buy a different drink this morning while I was getting gas. I tend to be in the market for a zero calorie and an energy beverage, and it can't be the zero calorie Red Bull because that tastes like shit. So mainly been drinking Rockstar. Wasn't feeling it, so I grabbed this can of Bang lemon drop flavor. It's like, well, I like the lemonade monster. Maybe this will be something. This is, yeah, I don't know. Make no mistake, Bang is not your stereotypical high sugar life sucking soda masquerading as an energy drink. Creatine, caffeine, CoQ10, and BCAAs is branched chain amino acids, motherfucker. not intended for people under the age of 18. It's got an American flag on it. From the makers of Redline. Oh, jeez.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I tried... I feel like I tried some of these at PAX in Seattle and was not impressed, but these are different flavors. Vaguely lemony, not too much. I might even call it a weak lemon scent. You know, there could be more. Like LaCroix week. LaCroix. Not like a flavored water week, but not much more than that. Yeah, the flavor is pretty weak. It's okay. Like, it's not repulsive. But, it's no Rockstar Recovery Lemonade. It does kind of taste like someone poured powder into something and stirred it up to make this. I think my Rockstar flavors of choice at this point are probably the Recovery Fruit Punch, the Zero, like, carbonated punched, and the Exdurance, the red one. Not the cotton candy one, because that tastes like shit. I haven't been checking for them, so, you know, maybe they're out there, but but like, so like, is it just me, or did Cypress Hill just vanish as soon as weed became legal in California? I was just like, all right, mission complete. And then they just fucking transformed into weed. They just transformed into a fucking cyber bong. Go play in states where it's not legal yet. Maybe, you know, their work is not done. They've made some great strides. The grocery store I was in last night was selling CBD oil, so... MIDI 2, the sequel to MIDI. I don't know what the actual difference is. I would assume it's just something that is better at more modern, I don't know, computer connections, right? It's just, but then, you know, like MIDI over USB has been a thing for a long time and all that sort of stuff, so maybe it's just kind of codifying that stuff and be like, hey, USB-C is good and very low latency, so here's some protocols that firm that up. Yeah, I don't know. Or is it its own series of connectors all over again? I'm gonna go buy a sound card. I have a sound card. It's just not in my machine because my PC only has, like, one fucking slot on it for something that is not a video card. And that seems like a low number of slots to have. So I had a sound card in there for kicks, just for the fuck of it. Then I took it out because I needed to put in a capture card. So I put in the capture card and took out the sound card. And now I'm using a USB sound bar. Like, the case has plenty of room for more slots. You know, there's plenty of those little fucking metal things to pull off and lose on the back of the case. But there's just no... slots in the fucking motherboard. So I feel like next time I upgrade, I'm gonna look and see if I can get, like, a good-ass motherboard that also has a bunch of fucking slots on it. Set these jumpers to IRQ7. DMA1, you know? Interrupt 220. case stuff in your motherboard box. I put all my extra case stuff in like a crappy little felt bag that came with, I guess it came with the case. I was going to say it came with a motherboard, but I guess I think I got one with the case, and I think the power supply came with a shitty little bag. Like, I'm buying Crown Royal, the Crown Royal of power supplies. Oh, you know what it is, though? I think... now that I think about it, I think it does have two slots, but one slot is disabled if you're using an M2 drive. Good and all, but what if children were performing it? There was a song I saw last week while we were here in the car streaming that didn't get played. That now I'm going to force upon you. This is just how it has to be. Oh, let's see. More crazy hits. Yes, it's 2006's. Here we go. Everyone loves this song. But I bet, you know, you could improve on the original, right? Yep, there we go. That's, yeah. That's what we needed. Yeah, that's what was missing. Good shit right there. baby. This is exactly how you should do it.
To the point, no fake it. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon. You ain't quick, you're nimble. I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat. I feel
like cover fucking raps, this guy is like on beat more than most.
In my 5.0 with the ragtop pounds on my head can roll.
Like he's listened to the song a few times before pressing record. Crazy Frog is like din 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 din, you know, it's a whole different thing. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's just smart. Smart use of the samples. Yep. The quality of the performance on this one is significantly lower. I feel like this is pretty much a one-to-one swap, you know, like Crazy Frog, the actual original song Blue, like it's kind of a fucking toss-up for me. This we might have gone too deep here. This sounds like a fucking early DDR cover. Well, yeah, we got the rights to I Will Survive for second mix. We're pretty excited about it.
Bye. Oh, fuck.
Samba, they're people. Samba, they're people. Samba.
No. Right? That's not. Ding, ding. Keep a library, because you never know when the streaming services are gonna fucking pull shit up out from under you and be like, no, we got this version of the song that was recorded a year ago. I mean, it's the same artist. listening to the Fletch theme nowadays is that you kind of have to put out of your head, or you know, work to put out of your head the part where, like, yeah, Chevy Chase kind of sucks. Do you think that Harold Faltermeyer, do you think that he made more money off of Axel F. originally, you know, Beverly Hills Cop era and that original recording, or do you think that he made more money off of Crazy Frog taking his song and doing what they did to it and making it apparently a very popular ringtone? Recontextualizing the track for a new generation of fans who probably don't even know what the fuck a Beverly Hills Cop is. Or, I don't know, maybe. Assuming they paid him. I imagine if they didn't pay him, then he, you know, there's a lawsuit, you know, because that's assuming he still held the rights to it, and it didn't, like, end up with, like, oh, you wrote the song, but the movie somehow controls it. I don't think that's how that works. Usually doesn't. I never did listen to the soundtrack to that movie. The fuck was it called? There was a movie. There was, like, they were trying to do a cop movie. Was it a Kevin Smith movie? Where they went and got Harold Faltermeyer to do the soundtrack to it. In the vein of the stuff he did for Fletch and Beverly Hills Cop and that stuff. I heard that stuff was all right. Cop out, yes.
Cop out.
Cop out. Never saw a cop out. Barely remember. The only thing I know about Cop Out is that they got him to do the soundtrack, or portions of, and I want to say it was a Kevin Smith movie. Because Kevin Smith seems like the sort of guy who would say, let's get the guy what did the Beverly Hills Cop song to do this cop movie. And that's why my feelings on Kevin Smith will always be mixed, because that's a good idea. Say what you will about Kevin Smith and his films, there's something, he's heart is in the right place sometimes, maybe. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It's complicated. I mean, similarly, there was that idea kicking around where he wanted to do a Fletch reboot and get the dude, the fuck's the guy's name? He's a skateboarder, wasn't he? Jason Lee? Is that, he's the dude who played the friend, in, he played, was it Brody? He played the dude in Mallrats. And that's a good, I feel like that's a good choice. I feel like he's a good choice to play a young Fletch. Maybe less so nowadays, but, you know, when the idea was kicking around, it's like, yeah, I could see him playing a young, like, not that you necessarily need to cast someone as a young Chevy Chase, but, like, think there's a similar energy to that. There's a vibe there. that I think they could tap into. That would have worked. I would have been okay with that. I would have been okay with a Fletch reboot then. Now, kind of feel like too much time has passed.
Jason Sudeikis. No,
nah. Well, whatever. Nothing wrong with Jason Sudeikis, but
if you're telling me that Jason Sudeikis would be in a Fletch reboot, I would say, yeah, of course. And also, I would say, I guess that's why I'm less okay with the idea of a Fletch reboot nowadays.
Because of course it is!
Right, yes, Jason Lee played Coach Frank. In a role that will surprise you.
Like, Jason Sudeikis is fine. Like, I don't have a... Like, he's funny, right? But like, I don't... If you're rebooting Fletch, I want the fucking grit... Like, original fucking Fletch. Fletch 1... Not Fletch 1. But the first Fletch film. Fletch. Is, you know, it's like a detective story. You know, it's all that stuff. With comedy in it. Fletch Lives, the follow-up. I love it. Fletch Lives, hell of a movie, but it is a comedy, first and foremost. It is, like, way more over the top than the first Fletch film. But just, you know, like, that first Fletch movie is about fucking dealing heroin on the beach. And the lengths that the people behind the fucking heroin sales will go to keep that quiet. Yes, casual asshole. That is what Chevy Chase brought to that role. And I really think Jason Lee in that era, like Mallrats era Jason Lee, and in the years that, some of the years that followed there, I think he had that. I think he had the ability to pull that off. And I don't know who you would get to do that, that would have that balance down. And then also, I think if they were rebooting that movie today, they wouldn't get that it was, you know, meant to be that fucking mix of comedy and, you know, like Beverly Hills Cop, you know, like that there's fucking intrigue and fucking shit going down in Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. Less so in 3. Much less so in 3. I mean, whatever. They're counterfeiting money at a fake Disney, at Disneyland, basically. Like, it's like a summary, that's all right. But the way they play it out is perhaps a little too focused on the comedy. Well, it's not rated R, right? That's the... Maybe that's the must-have at that point. Depending on which day you ask me, I might say Beverly Hills Cop 2 is better than Beverly Hills Cop 1. I don't know. Judge Reinhold pulling shotguns out of a trunk. Fucking trench coat on. The fucking horse track. Brigitte Nielsen. Club. Though 2 is also the one where they go to Hugh Hefner's place. That's maybe a little
ridiculous. It works, whatever. Yeah, yeah, Bronson Pinchot in 3 just turns into, I'm going to give you this boombox that shoots a net, and then it plays this Eazy-E song. And so when it comes time for Axel Foley to use the fucking magic boombox, he can't figure out which button to push, and it plays Eazy-E. Traffic is the shits. What the fuck? Decided against getting in that lane that you were almost all the way in and coming back into mine. Thank you. This is, you've, really helping here. Really helping out. There's not much of this drive left, but when in doubt, there's always this playlist. Oh yeah, finally, a great song sung by a great singer. When that matches up, that's magic right there. Yeah. I mean, I like the Rod Stewart original just fine, but what, I mean, you could do better. You could do better. You know, and Paris Hilton here has done better. Proper Tuesday. And I'll see you.